Good morning and welcome to On the Air, Cox Media Group Houston's public affairs broadcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Tyler. On the air with me this morning, Liz Seelig. She's the founder of Music Knows No Boundaries. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You bet. Let's talk about Music Knows No Boundaries. What kind of organization is it and what made you decide to start it?
So Music Knows No Boundaries is really an event. I created Music Knows No Boundaries in 2018 to celebrate the connection between autism and music, as well as to help families with children who are on the autism spectrum in the greater Houston area. So I have he's now 10-year-old son, Jack, on the spectrum. And for those of you who are familiar with autism, the things that usually come along with that are, you know, developmental delays, speech delays, behavioral challenges, and it's really hard. My son was diagnosed in 2015, and we've had a heck of a journey. And one of the big things that I have found is that unless you're in the top 1% of the world in income, it's pretty hard for an average family, and I'm going to say a middle-class family, to pay for all of the expenses associated with autism. Part of the treatment associated with autism, there's not a cure, but part of the treatment is various types of therapies. So Jack goes to speech therapy twice a week. He goes to applied behavioral analysis, which is more widely known as ABA therapy, every day, year round, from 8:30 until 4, Monday through Friday. And that's his school. So a lot of kids also have occupational therapy or physical therapy. Some do equine therapy. It really just kind of depends on the individual's need. He also does food therapy. Most kids on the spectrum are very picky eaters. Jack is definitely in that category. And so he only wants to eat, for example, chicken nuggets, pizza. You know, he likes strawberries and raspberries, which are great, but he, like, vegetables, forget it. So, and he doesn't like to use utensils. He's able to, but he hates it. And so we wanted to expand his repertoire of foods. So what happened is that there's a food therapist on site and on staff at his ABA therapy clinic. And so they work with you on basically adding in different types of foods, whether it's proteins, it's typically vegetables and fruits. And because carbs are a big thing, just like they kind of are for a typical regular person like you or I, then they ultimately kind of also help the child acclimate to mealtime. So for example, Jack didn't used to like to sit like at the table for an entire meal. And so he made grays. So he'd come and have a bite of pizza or a bite of chicken. And then he would get up and, you know, go run around or something and then come back. Well, since he's been in food therapy, he's been able to now, he sits at the table with his sister and I for dinner. And, you know, it's not a long time, but let's say it's 15 minutes or so. So for him, that's a long time. And that's like our full meal time. If we go to a restaurant, we go to select restaurants that he's comfortable with. He can sit there probably for about 30 minutes. I mean, he may get up and, you know, walk on the patio or go to the bathroom or something, but he's pretty good about that. But I mention all of this because a part of an autism diagnosis is it's much more than just saying you have autism. There's multiple therapies. You know, he also has ADHD and he takes medication for that. He's also epileptic, which he also takes medicine for. And this is very common. There are so many important factors and therapies associated with autism. And so all of those things and all of those therapies can be extremely expensive. Each of the 50 states in the U.S., there's a law that states that all insurance companies have to cover the therapies that are associated with treating an autistic individual. For example, a lot of insurance plans will typically say, you know, we're only going to cover 13 or 26 visits of physical therapy, you know, for a year for a person or for a given incident. Well, if there's an associated autism diagnosis, then there's unlimited. It's a great thing if that medical insurance covers autism therapies. The challenge becomes a lot of companies these days are self-insured. And if you're self-insured and provide your employees a medical plan, you're not required to cover the therapies at the same level for autism. So therefore, you're going to probably have a 13 or 26 visit limit, which for my son, I mean, we could go through that in a week. And then you're really in trouble. So even though we're on a commercial plan through an employer, we still have deductibles. We still have, you know, out of pocket. A lot of people have co-pays. And so those expenses add up very quickly. Then you have some providers that do not take insurance, which presents a whole separate set of issues. And then you have some things that are needed, like swim lessons. And it may sound kind of silly, and people may think, oh, well, swim lessons, okay, you know, what is that going to cost me? $200? Well, you have to have, typically, you have to find a swim instructor that has experience with special needs children, especially on the spectrum, not because there's something wrong with them, but because a lot of times they require extra patience. Or in the example of my son, Jack, he loves the water. He's drawn to the water. The number one cause of death for autistic children is drowning, but he doesn't want to work. And I have that in air quotes, in the water. So he wants to play and splash, but when you want him to, you know, swim part of a lane, you know, at a swimming pool, he doesn't, you know, that's not what he wants to do there. So there's different, I'll say, teaching styles, and typically you have to have someone who's a little bit more patient than a typical instructor who may just say, okay, put your face in the water and, you know, or blow bubbles. Although those are important parts too, but it may take a lot longer to get to that actual place. I created Music Knows No Boundaries because the average expenditure, depending on what source you read, is between $40,000 and $60,000 a year to take care of a person with autism. And that's at a childhood age, up through the age of 18. Once you get above that age, if that individual needs, you know, around the clock care, perhaps they live in a facility or in a group setting, then your costs are even more, I'll say, exorbitant. If they live at home with a caregiver, you know, you have to seek guardianship over that individual. So there's a lot of time and expense. There's a huge amount of lost wages. Typically, it's for working moms who end up having to either take time off from work, or they have to only work part-time because they have to take care of their child. And I personally know that challenge, because Jack's dad and I are divorced, and I'm the one who is the sole caregiver. And so whenever he has therapies, he has doctor's appointments, of which there's follow-up appointments, et cetera, I'm the one who has to take him. And so I can't just like send his grandmother with him, for example. So I tell you all of this because it adds up to lots of money. And so even if your deductible is, let's say it's $1,500 or $2,000, you're still going to have an out-of-pocket amount. And then there's still all kinds of other things. They may need an iPad to communicate, or they may need special noise-canceling headphones. There may be modifications to be made to the home. Jack has been... We have a sensory swing in our house and he loves it. The challenge is he has bounced off of, used the wall to like kick off of before. And so then there was a hole in the sheetrock. You know, he wasn't trying to be violent, but that's what happened. Well, I can't have a hole in the sheetrock. So I had to have someone come in and basically put this special thing called wainscot. It's like kind of they reinforce the walls with this wood and stuff. That's not very descriptive there, but wood and stuff. And so therefore he's not going to annihilate the walls. You know, people who are in wheelchairs or other things, I mean, they've got to have accessibility things. So your expenses quickly add up, and, you know, autistic kids can sometimes be violent. And so then if they break a phone or they break a screen, and so it's not just, hey, you're going to the doctor. And for me, I saw the challenge and felt the challenge of missing work, of having to try to pay for all of these things by myself. And there are not a lot of organizations overall, but especially in Houston or in Texas, that will issue grants to families to help them offset some of these expenses. Typically, the ones that are out there, you know, they have strict guidelines that they want you to be at poverty level or perhaps 200% above poverty level. And I absolutely 120% agree that we need to have grants in place and we need to have other support services for those individuals. The challenge becomes, in my opinion, for those that are in the middle class. And so especially kind of in the upper middle class, because most people, myself included, cannot afford to just sit there and write a check for up to, you know, $30,000, $40,000, whatever a year. And yes, you can itemize your medical expenses on your taxes, et cetera. But still, I mean, that's a ridiculous amount of money. And so I tried to find ways and grants, and there's a couple great organizations out there that do help middle-class families, and it's dependent on need, dependent on what you're asking for. But I wanted to find a way to create something that a place where people could come and basically apply for funding and they wouldn't be rejected because they're not, you know, they're not receiving government support typically, but they're also not in the top 1% of wealth. And so there's this huge gap. And I think there's a kind of a misconception out there that if you send your child to private school for autism, or you send your child to, if you can afford all these therapies, well, you can just afford it. Well, it's a ton. And I wish that I could do more for my son. And I think I do a pretty good job, but it's still just, it's overwhelming. And so the second part is that Jack, I'm a huge live music junkie. And I go to concerts when I can. And Jack also loves music. And so back in 2015, 2016, part of autism is meltdowns and challenging behaviors. And it's not the child being bad. It's just they don't know how to communicate, or they don't know how to express their emotions. They don't have the social skills. They're not developmentally at the standard age. And so he would have meltdowns, and one day he was at Pump It Up, which is an indoor jumping place that we have here in Houston, and he was much younger. Kids who are on the spectrum typically are not potty trained at the same age as, I'll call it, neurotypical children, which is what, you know, my daughter is neurotypical. She's not on the spectrum. And he had on a pull-up, and some poop started to leak out of his pull-up because he'd had an accident while he was jumping. And so it was, and I did not have any pull-ups for whatever reason that day with me. And so we had to leave. Well, Jack had a very different idea about that and decided he was absolutely not leaving. And so that turned into a complete meltdown, kicking and screaming, you know, trying to pull my hair, everything. And so at that time, weight, height, I was able to pick him up and get him to the car. Now, it was really hard. I was, you know, I wanted to be able to console my child and make him feel better, but also get him clean, obviously. But for example, you know, there's a lot of kids, and Jack still has some challenges behaviorally with meltdowns, although they're very rare now. But he now weighs 95 pounds and he's almost 5 feet tall. Like I can't, I mean, I'm 5'9", but I can't just, you know, pick him up and carry him out. So I got him into the car that day, but I couldn't get him in a seatbelt. And he was in a car seat, and, you know, I sat there, and this went on for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And finally I got to the point where, you know, he's still screaming and he's on the floor. And so I turned on my iPhone, or I think it was an iPhone. It wouldn't have been an iPod back then, but an iPhone. And so music was playing throughout the car on Bluetooth. And so I don't know, it was a couple minutes in, and there's an artist named Kelly Willis, and one of her songs came on, and I noticed kind of by looking in the rearview mirror, and because he was becoming quieter, I looked and I saw he was getting into his car seat. And so I couldn't quite believe it, didn't know why he was doing this, but was ecstatic. And so the song came to an end. And so I'm about to go try to buckle him in his seatbelt, or buckle in the car seat buckles. And by then the song ended and some other more upbeat song was on, and he was screaming again. And so I went back to the front seat, you know, found all of Kelly Willis's music on my phone, and then just put it on shuffle for that artist. And ultimately then he started listening and he calmed down, got back in his car seat. I was able to buckle him in and we drove away. It's much more kind of extensive than that, but it was a really hard day. And I cried. I couldn't console him. I couldn't get a hold of his dad at that time. I couldn't get a hold of any of my friends. And, you know, I just felt like this huge failure as a mom. Why can I not console my child, et cetera? I was so thankful to be able to identify the fact that he has this connection to music. And it's very common. There's a lot of research out there that says that people that are on the spectrum, especially kids, connect with music. And, you know, even for people like us, I mean, you know, people always say it's crazy how you can be somewhere, hear a song from 32 years ago, and you can remember exactly where you were.
Exactly.
And, you know, what you were doing and, you know, what color shirt you're wearing or something.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's so I basically said, OK, I'm going to do something and I'm going to try to help other people. And, you know, through all of these obstacles of learning that Jack was autistic and then he was diagnosed with a chromosomal deletion in 2017, which led to epilepsy. Being a mom of a special needs child or being a mom of an autistic child is just it's very hard.
This morning in the studio, I have Liz Seelig. She's the founder of Music Knows No Boundaries. So after Jack had the meltdown in the car and you saw how much the music helped him, you decided to start Music Knows No Boundaries.
In 2017, I decided to use my career experience, which is in marketing and communication, and also in nonprofit and fundraising, and try to plan a concert that would I could generate ticket sales from and then have an auction. And so all of the money that I raised from that evening would then go to a local autism nonprofit who would then be able to distribute that money and via grants to families. I wasn't my own nonprofit. I'm still not my own 501c3. I've started the process, but right now Music Knows No Boundaries is an event, and the funds that come out of that are generated from that event now specifically go to a fund that's called the Jack Stevens Scholarship Fund with the Autism Society of Texas. And so they basically manage those funds. It's just, you know, like anything else, if you were going to give money to your college and it was the, you know, your school of, you know, engineering or business or what have you. And so then those funds specifically with Autism Society of Texas will be geared and earmarked towards helping families who have a child on the spectrum and who need help in covering expenses that are out of pocket and, you know, they need some relief or things they may want to do, but they haven't been able to do. In 2018, the first event that I had was a concert with, it was at Rockefeller's, and Rockefeller's was amazing. They donated the venue to me for no charge one evening, which was, and they also did all the ticketing online, and they didn't charge ticketing, they didn't charge any service fees, which, you know, obviously that's how Ticketmaster and all these ticket companies make their money, typically, is through all the fees. And was able to get, you know, the food donated and, you know, some of the bar tab donated and, you know, all of these different things. And then I had a lot of items donated for an auction, and I've chaired several auctions before for nonprofits. And so was able to tap into my skill set there, and I hoped for the best. And I ended up hiring Kelly Willis, and that I mentioned earlier.
Nice.
And then Hayes Carl. And Hayes is also has a stepson that is autistic. And so he wasn't then married to his now wife at the time, but he was very involved and he brought his stepson to the event that evening. It was great. And it was honestly probably one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done in my life, where I felt like I'm taking this negative of some people might think I'm a horrible person for saying that, but having a child with, you know, all these medical disabilities is a challenge. And so nobody wakes up and says, I wish my child had autism, or I wish my child had cancer, or I wish my child was, you know, in a wheelchair,
right,
or what have you. So, or I ended up having, you know, I hosted, founded, created this whole event by myself in 2018. And it was in April, which is Autism Awareness Month. And we ended up raising about $20,000 to $25,000. And so while that may not sound like a lot of money for your typical nonprofit, considering that I was able to cover the talent, like that's after the talent fees. And that's all that I really had to secure that night was mm-hmm. just to pay for Hayes and Kelly's time, and which they were very generous and gave a discounted, you know, fee. But it was remarkable about, how everything went. And, you know, then I wanted to do it again in 2019, but we had some personal and family things going on, and then COVID blew up the world for everybody.
Yes.
And, I decided last year, 2021, I was like, I really want to do this again, but I wasn't quite sure if I could commit my time and everything. And so I just decided this year in April that I was going to do this again. And so, you know, started putting together kind of my plan, started reaching out to people. This year's event is on October 5th at White Oak Music Hall. And it is, again, it's a concert And it is, we also have an auction. There's going to be a silent auction and a live auction. I have a pretty high goal set for myself. I'm hoping that we raise $75,000 for that evening so that we can really help as many families as possible. And so, you know, you can buy tickets if you're interested on White Oak Music Hall's website. Again, it's called Music Knows No Boundaries. Or you can go to the website that I created, which is mknb.org, which is just the first letter of Music Knows No Boundaries. And there's links on every page to buy tickets. There's links, there's information, kind of tells you about my story, about the cause, some information about autism, information about the artists that are playing this year, information about the previous years.
And you got five artists this year, which is nice.
I do. We have Ashley Cook, and she is really just on fire right now, which is great. I know y'all play her a lot on 93Q. Mm-hmm. Corey Morrow, he's a Houston guy, and you know, I love Corey. He's great. He's been through a lot. His journey is amazing. And then we also have Kyle Hutton, who is from lives in Magnolia. I think he's from Magnolia. And he does the Real Life, Real Music. There's a whole radio series that they do up at Do-Si-Do. And he also created the Real Life, Real Music Foundation, which does two different things. One of them is it provides like songwriting and music classes, I believe, for kids who want to kind of learn about this. But it also helps a lot of children that are in the foster system. Then we also have Owen Temple. Owen Temple is, he came to fame in the Texas music scene in the mid to late 90s and kind of in the 2000s with Roger Krager and Corey and Pat Green, Jack Ingram, all those guys. And he performs occasionally. But he has a whole career now in the software industry. The last one is definitely not least. His name is Sean McConnell, and he is an amazing singer-songwriter. He has written hit songs for Brett Young, the song Mercy that, you know, was a huge hit for Brett. He's written songs for Christina Aguilera, for Plain White Tees, for Meatloaf.
And it's incredible.
And so he and his wife, Mary Susan, they adopted a special needs child from Ghana at the age of two. And so the evening is, you know, Ashley Cook, Corey Morrow, Kyle Hutton, Owen Temple, Sean McConnell, in no particular order. And it's an acoustic song swap. And so my goal is I really wanted for all of them to be able to come and, you know, play some of their songs and really tell their stories, like how, you know, these songs came to be, or perhaps they have a personal connection. Some of them, the artists have personal connections to autism.
Sounds like a really fun, wonderful evening.
I'm hoping so.
For a fantastic cause.
Yeah, and we're going to have a lot of items to bid on at the auction. So we have autographed guitars by artists. We have tickets to shows. We have beauty services. We have hunting experiences. We have special meet and greets with celebrities, etc. So there are definitely some experiences that you can't buy. And so I'm really excited. And again, 100% of the proceeds. So it's not like I am taking any of this money for anything. Goes straight to the Jack Stevens Scholarship Fund managed by the Autism Society of Texas. And then the application process will open later this fall, and then we'll be able to distribute the funds. And my goal is to continue to do this year after year. And I'm hoping that I can also, you know, create different ways to raise funds, but having like the cornerstone event be, you know, the concert every year.
Now, if someone can't make it to the show, but they still want to donate to the cause, how can they do that?
Well, that is a great question, Jennifer. I love that. So if you go to mknb.org, if you go to the navigation, the drop-down menu, it'll say support the cause. And there's a way you can click on, there's many places on that page, but you can click on to just make a donation. And any amount, like $5 is great. You know, I'd love it if someone wants to give $10,000 or $20,000. That would be awesome. And I'm happy to talk to you if your company does corporate matching also. That would be even better. But I am not like $5, if I have 10 people who give $5, that's $50, you know? And I mean, you can buy a child noise canceling headphones, or at least be well on your way there. Or if you, you know, forget that, you can always go to the Autism Society of Texas's webpage, and you can search for Music Knows No Boundaries or Jack Stevens, or probably even just Jack, and it'll pull up and you can see where you can make a donation directly. And it's 100% tax deductible. And so you hopefully you can write it off on your taxes also. If you're in, if your company or you personally are interested in sponsoring, I would love to talk to you. There are sponsorships ranging from $2,500 to $10,000. A lot of opportunities there for exposure. Again, your donation is 100% tax deductible. And that's a great way to help support the cause. Yeah, I want to give a big shout out to, you know, all of you guys here at Cox Media, because, you know, 93Q and Country Legends, The Eagle, you yourself, Jennifer, like I couldn't do this without you guys. And you've been just so generous and kind about helping get the word out about this. And awareness about autism is growing. And, you know, I think most of the time, people are more patient now, and they kind of understand if they see something that perhaps there's a child or an adult, you know, or anyone who might need a little bit of assistance, or they're struggling to communicate or what have you. But, you know, part of my goal is also just to help educate people about autism and what it looks like. And, you know, a lot of people will ask me, well, so is Jack like Rain Man? You know, it's a great question. You know, that is a perfect example of autism. But autism is also a spectrum. And so there are a lot of people that are high functioning that you probably would not know are on the spectrum. And then there's some people that don't speak at all. You know, Jack falls into a category where he's categorized as nonverbal. And I hate that terminology term to describe him, because he does talk. You know, and a lot of my other personal time, I spend just trying to kind of help other parents who are early in their journey with autism and or related, you know, speech challenges or behavior challenges, you know.
Well, I can only imagine when your child first gets the diagnosis, how overwhelming it must be trying to figure out all the therapies and whatnot, and then try to cover the cost.
Like you said, you don't even know what you don't know. And so it's like I knew speech therapy, but then people start talking about occupational therapy and physical therapy, and you're like, well, but my child can pick up things or, you know, walk. What do we need this for? Then you get to the whole school system. How do you navigate that to get special education services? You know, and then honestly, like I think a lot of times as moms, we don't give ourselves enough credit. And I know that I do this all the time. Like I still beat myself up and think, what could I do better? How could I better advocate for my child?
Liz Selig, Music Knows No Boundaries, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you for having me on today, Jennifer.
You bet. The website for Music Knows No Bounds, mknb.org. The event is October the 5th at White Oak Music Hall. Tickets are available through that website, mknb.org. Also, the Autism Society of Texas's website is texasautismsociety.org. I'm Jennifer Tyler, your host for On the Air. Thank you for joining me this morning. Please enjoy the rest of your Sunday.